Hey, homegirls and homeboys, I'm Arielle.
And I'm Amanda, and we're the Homicide Homegirls.
Just two best friends discussing true crime cases that they can't stop obsessing over.
If you're like us, and your guilty pleasure is serial killer documentaries, whodunit mysteries, and procedural police shows, then you're in the right place.
So buckle up, Buttercup, grab an adult beverage, and get ready, because on Wednesdays, we talk murder.
Welcome back, y'all, and happy Veterans Day.
Hey, guys.
So, we're finally in the home stretch of the shit show that is 2020.
Thank God.
And while I am one who usually hates the holidays.
Fucking Grinch.
Yeah, I am. I am actually looking forward to something, anything, that will indicate that this monstrosity of a year is almost over.
That's a good word. I feel like we're going to use that a lot now.
Yes. This year fucking sucks.
Yeah.
But please be good to us, 2021.
Like, fingers, toes, all appendages crossed. Like,
yeah.
Ugh, all the holy good water. Vibes. Yeah.
You know.
Pray if you pray.
Sage. All of the things.
Thick sage blunts.
Oh my God.
What was that, Cheyenne Clues?
Yes. So, as I've mentioned before, in episode 6, the murder of Taylor Williams, I am intensely patriotic, which definitely aided me in choosing today's case, the Clarksburg 7.
Also, let me tell y'all, Amanda's a fucking bitch. So, we generally use my Google Drive, like, for my personal email. I don't know why we never.
I guess we didn't have Homicide Homegirls email set up at first.
Mm-hmm. But anyway. So, we generally have, like, all of our different folders set up, and they're shared with each other. And, you know, you, like, we'll go look, whatever. This bitch did her shit on her, I guess, on her own Google Drive. I didn't know what case she was doing until today, because she said I suck, and I ruined shit.
Yeah, she does. So, I said, I got some for ass.
I'm gonna fix her ass. I was like, this bitch really, like, I was like, is she working on a fucking episode? Like, what the fuck?
And that's why I did it. How's your episode coming? Wouldn't you like to know, bitch?
So fucking aggravating.
Yeah, that was great. I'm gonna do that next time, too. So.
I cannot stand you.
At first, I had it in the archive folder, and I was like, I don't trust this bitch. So then I put it.
I didn't even look. Like, I didn't even know.
That's when you're like, you're doing, Chris Kyle. You've been using my slang. Oh, I was like,
no. Nope. No, seriously. Somebody was watching Chris Kyle, like, whatever.
American Soldier?
Yeah. On slang.
It wasn't me.
Who the hell got my slang log in?
I don't know. It's probably your husband.
No. No, because we watch it together. I'm out. Somebody got my sling shit. I'm about to go, bitch.
Let's stop. Not be her. Let's stop. Okay. So, anyways. So, this is probably going to excite Arielle and the rest of our listeners that I've moved on from another Louisiana case. Now, I'm in the state of West Virginia. Mm. And.
Where is West Virginia? Is that, like, up there by Pennsylvania and shit?
No.
Or South Carolina, North Carolina area.
Yeah, right.
We are horrible at geography.
When we were in Tennessee a couple weeks ago, we were driving through the mountains. Mm-hmm. And we're just strumming along. And I checked the GPS, like, and it says we're in North Carolina. I was like, I ain't see no sign.
I ain't see no sign.
So, but also, today's case is a serial killer.
What?
Look
I
at me
never,
go.
I had never thought
go
you...
Go, best friend. Go, best friend.
I know,
friend,
right? I never thought you'd do a serial killer. You said he, like, intimidate you.
Well, this one, you'll see why I was okay with covering it, because I'm just, like, dabbling, like, dipping my toes into it.
Right.
So let's dive in.
I'm about to dive in. We're gonna get sued. If y'all could see her face right now. Trey song? I think
is
it's
that
Trey
a baby making song?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I. That's why my face looked like the way it did. So Rita Mays is our killer.
R E T A, which I've never seen Rita spelled like that.
Oh, ever. I was like, ETA, estimated time.
R-ETA.
I thought you meant hour. I'm like, where are we going?
Oh, no, like R-ETA. Oh, it sounds like...
You're dumb.
Oh, my God. No, like R-E-T-A.
R.
That's how her name... I don't know. Not, I've never seen her name spelled like that.
And there's no other podcast on this episode. So I Googled. I searched it.
Holla.
Anyways, Rita Mays was a veteran of the United States Army. So she kind of plays into the veteran role, although she a hoe.
She's the villain of the story.
Yeah. So she was a veteran of the U.S. Army, where she worked as a chemical equipment repairer, which I would have never labeled her as that looking at her.
Yeah.
She looks like a lunch lady.
Oh, that is accurate. I literally looked her up right before we started. I was like, let me see what this woman looks like. And Amanda said, not great.
Is that what I said?
No, not good or not.
Or did I say, she's
No, you said she's Accurate.
So she was also a former correctional officer for the West Virginia Department of Corrections at the North Central Regional Jail.
She looked like she built like a football player. Oh my God. See her being a correctional officer.
So, although there are not very many public details about her, I did find where she, along with several others, were named in a lawsuit brought by an inmate for excessive use of force.
You don't say.
The lawsuit was dismissed on summary judgment due to the defendant not being able to corroborate his claims.
Dang.
Yeah.
That sucks. And I feel like that probably happens a lot, like, with an inmate. Because, like, when it's your word against... You know, like, all the officers.
I don't know. He said, like, he woke up from being unconscious and that Rita Mays spit on him and kicked him in the head. Mm. And I don't...
It's hard to... Like, how do you prove that, you know? I mean, unless he went to the infirmary with, like, a head injury.
Right.
Yeah.
Or did he just cry wolf after the fact? Right. I don't know. There was... I mean, everything was dismissed, so... Mm-hmm. So 2 years after, I put it as leaving her job, I don't know.
Being dismissed.
I don't even know how that
You
played
were about
out.
To lose your job.
Stop it.
She lost her job.
Stop it. Okay. So after leaving her job as a correctional officer, she became a nursing assistant at the Lewis A. Johnson VA Medical Center in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And that was from 2015 to 2018.
Oh, okay.
She was responsible for testing the vitals of patients, documenting patients' intake and output, testing their blood glucose levels with the glucometer, and sitting one-on-one with patients who required close observation.
So she was kind of like a nurse, but not like just but like not basic, with, like taking, like right. not with an RN degree, like right. just taking like vitals and,
yeah.
and like
sitting an
with,
MA
yeah.
or medical assistant, nursing yeah. assistant.
Or like a, what is it called, a PRN?
No, PRN's actual RN.
Oh, okay.
I guess, is it part-time RN? I don't know.
Okay, but so she wasn't a nurse, but she kind of did some type of nursing.
Caretaking.
Light nursing
yes.
stuff. Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Very, extremely light.
Yeah.
So she worked the night shift from 7:30 p.m. to 8 a.m. in the medical surgical unit referred to as Ward 3A. Ward 3A housed patients who were not in a condition to be discharged, but they also didn't require care in the intensive care unit.
So they were, like, on the mend, like, they were getting
yes.
to the, trying to get to the point of where they could go.
And they were all veterans. They were very old. Quite a few of the Ward 3A patients suffered from diabetes, so that would go back to her taking their blood glucose levels
okay.
with the glucometer.
Oh, I was wondering.
Yeah.
Okay.
Rita Mays was not qualified, nor was she authorized to administer any medication.
She wasn't supposed to.
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
That is correct.
And y'all are gonna notice, like, a lot of this is really repetitive.
Mm-hmm.
Because she
had an MO and she
well,
stuck to it.
Honestly,
or?
We don't know. We'll get there, but.
Well, I don't mean motive. I mean, like, motive.
Like,
what is it?
Modus operandi.
Modus operandi? Isn't that, like, how they do it, right?
I thought that was motive. Motive. Modus operandi.
Oh, someone's habits of working, particularly, where is it? Oh, the way in which something operates at work. So, like, yeah, it's the way that
So, she got away with it and, like, realized she got away with it and didn't change anything. So it's very repetitive.
So, it's like, you know you're doing something. It's like not getting caught taking cookies out of the cookie jar. Like, that's a really elementary example, but, like, you're going to keep doing it because you don't get caught. So, you know, you're going to keep doing it. By the way, when you said they suffer from diabetes... Stop you already it. Know what I'm about to
Stop
say.
Stop it right that now.
That man's face, diabetes, popped up in my head. I'm sorry. That's all I could think about.
So in March of 2018, Archie Edgell arrived at the VA hospital for an examination that would determine whether he should move to a nursing home for dementia. Edgell's granddaughter, Tina Hickman, was actually Rita Mays's neighbor. Yes. Hickman had a tremendously rough time believing that Mays would go on to do what she eventually did. Mm-hmm. She said overall, Mays seemed like the kind of neighbor you'd want. She was quiet, friendly. She often waved hello and even let Tina walk her dogs on her farm.
But that's the ones you gotta watch. Mm-hmm. Like, the ones that are quiet and, like they'll wave to reserved, you. Reserved, yeah. But they mostly keep to themselves. Mm-hmm. Like, you know? I don't know.
So, apparently, Maze's first attempt at killing Edgell was unsuccessful. She was successful with her second attempt when she injected him with insulin two nights in a row. Oh. And on the second night, he died. Just days after walking into the hospital. Days.
And that goes back to what you said, that she was not authorized to administer any type of medication.
His autopsy showed 4 injection sites on the body.
Oh my god. Jeez.
So, after Mays injected her patients with the insulin, she stayed at their bedsides as she watched their organs shut down.
Oh my god.
When doctors came in the next morning and noticed their less than normal blood sugar levels, Mays would stay in the room as they would try to counteract the effects of the insulin. And she would also eavesdrop on the physician's conversations with the patient's families.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What a creep.
So.
Wait. So, I had to look it up. Like, what happens when you... I was curious. So, I looked up, like, what happens when you inject, like, a diabetic person with too much insulin? Because I'm like, ignorant. Yeah. So, this is from Healthline. It says, excess insulin in the bloodstream causes cells in your body to absorb too much glucose, sugar, from your blood. It also causes the liver to release less glucose. These two effects together create dangerously low glucose levels in your blood, and it's called hypoglycemia, which is what you said the next morning. I guess it causes all your organs to shut down.
So, yeah, I'm not really familiar with diabetes. If you're...
There's two different kinds.
Yeah. Type 1 is you fight that your whole life. Yeah. You know, from a child, you're diagnosed. Mm-hmm. And usually at that... I'm pretty sure that one you have to be, like, on one of those monitors.
Mm-hmm. There's one is like, insulin resistant and insulin dependent or something, I think.
I don't know. But I know that, like, so if your blood sugar is too high, then you give insulin? Or if it's, yeah, to bring it down, right? Because if she gave them the insulin and their levels dropped...
Yeah, but type 2 is often milder than type 1, so yeah, that's what you said. Like, type 1, you have, like, you
battle your whole bad. Life. Type 2 can often be controlled with diet.
Oh, yeah. Type 1 is what Michelle has, my friend.
I know plenty of people. Yeah. My friend, her little boy, lost a ton of weight.
And that's how they found
him. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. He lost 10 pounds in a week.
That's what it is. People with type 1 don't produce insulin at all. And people with type 2 don't respond to insulin as well as they should. And later on, they don't make enough insulin. Let's see. They can both lead to chronically high blood sugar levels that increases the risk of...
So, like, if your blood sugar is too high, do you take insulin to counteract it and bring it down? Yeah. So I'm going to move on. While you look that up, I'm going to move on to the victims in the timeline. Mm-hmm. During the July 19th through 20th mm-hmm. of 2017 night shift, mm-hmm. 82-year-old Robert Edge Sr. was an inpatient in Ward 3A. On this night shift, Ms. Mays was sitting with him one-on-one when she willfully, deliberately, and without authorization administered insulin to him.
Good God.
Mr. Edge was a type 2 diabetic. Mm. However, he had not received any prescribed insulin during his admission. Following the administration, Mr. Edge suffered a severe hypoglycemic event mm-hmm. marked by a blood glucose level of 17.
Oh, so super low.
So low.
Right, that's almost like non-existent.
Oh, it gets worse.
I think, is the normal one, I think it's 60.
I read it, but I can't remember. Despite hospital staff administering dextrose 50, which is an injection used to restore blood glucose levels, mm-hmm. in an attempt to raise his blood glucose level, he did not recover from his hypoglycemia. Yeah. On the afternoon of July 20th, 2017, Mr. Edge died. The insulin that Mays gave to him was the cause of his death, just wow. as she had intended.
But did they, like, realize that?
We'll get there.
Oh. Hang on, let's see. I'm reading really quick. He was a type 2, you said?
Yes.
So with type 1, you have to take insulin to survive?
Yes.
So, like, that's when, like I said, you don't produce insulin, or at least not enough of it.
Mm-hmm.
The body can't fuel itself and will start to use protein and fat stores for energy, which is why that little boy probably lost that yep. lost weight. Blood sugar levels climb dangerously high. In addition, a series. So, yeah, so it sounds like on that, like, that when you take insulin to lower your blood sugar. So, yeah, mm-hmm. that's why. So, if you don't need it and you're taking insulin,
it's dropping it even lower.
So low. Okay. Sorry, I just wanted yeah. to...
So, the night of January 28th, 2018, so this is like 6 months later, mm-hmm. and into January 29th, since she worked the night shift, mm-hmm. 89-year-old Robert Kozel was an inpatient in Ward 3A.
Oh, they were all like elderly.
Very. It gets worse. On this night shift, Rita Mays, while sitting with Mr. Kozel, willfully, deliberately, and without authorization, administered insulin to Mr. Kozel, who was not a diabetic.
What?
And not prescribed insulin.
Oh, my God.
Following this administration, he suffered a severe hypoglycemic event marked by a glucose level of 27.
Oh, my God.
As measured by the VAMC Clarksburg lab.
Wow.
Despite hospital staff administering several ampules of dextrose 50 to him in an attempt to raise his blood glucose, he did not recover from his hypoglycemia. On January 30th, at approximately 1 a.m., he died.
And she was probably there, because she worked the night shift.
As a result of her administering mm. that insulin to him. During the March 23rd and 24th, 2018 night shift.
Oh, so she's getting quicker. That's like 2 months. She's accelerating. Yeah,
it gets worse.
Oh, God.
At VAMC Clarksburg, 84-year-old Archie Edgell, which is the one mm-hmm. we talked about earlier, he was also a patient in Ward 3A. On this night shift, while sitting one-on-one with him, she willfully, deliberately,
so and she did the same
without authorization. It is disgustingly repetitious. Yeah. Like, so she administered the insulin. He was a type 2 diabetic, but mm-hmm. he, like I said, he had never received insulin
oh, wow.
during his stay. And because of this, he suffered a severe hypoglycemic event marked by a blood glucose level of 24. The staff administered several ampules of dextrose 50 over the next 24 hours.
Hmm.
That's the one with the two attempts.
Right.
On the night shift of the 24th through the 25th, she was sitting with him and again deliberately administered insulin to him. And then, like, as a result, his blood glucose level was 23.
Good Lord. Oh, by the way, I looked it up again. I'm an idiot. Normal is 140.
Really?
I thought it was 60.
I thought it was like 80 to 90. I don't know. Maybe I read
it. It says less than 100 after not eating, fasting for at least 8 hours, and less than 140, 2 hours after eating.
Yeah.
But I don't know why I thought 60. Isn't it 60 over 80 is normal blood pressure? Think, is that what I was thinking?
That is
of?
Definitely not. It's like 120 over 60.
I don't know what the hell I'm thinking. I'm dumb.
Clearly. On the morning of March 26, 2018, Mr. Edgell died. The insulin that she administered to him was the cause of death. All right. On March 25th and 26th.
Holy crap. Talk about an escalation.
Yeah. 81-year-old George Shaw was an inpatient in Ward 3A.
Oh, my God.
She was sitting one-on-one with him where she, you know, without authorization, administered him the insulin. He was not a diabetic and not prescribed insulin. After this hypoglycemic event, his blood glucose level was 17.
Jeez.
Despite the doctor's efforts to elevate his level, he did not recover. And on April 10th?
That's a long time.
Yeah. Okay, so on April 10th, he died, having never returned to his clinical baseline after the hypoglycemic event. Dang. Cause of death was the insulin that she...
So, like, did they not, like, figure this
out? Girl.
Like, what the...
I know.
Yeah, she was the last person to be with all of them, so, like, hey, maybe, you know...
During... the April 3rd, April 4th, 2018 night shift. 96-year-old. William Holloway was an inpatient in Ward 3A. Again, she, without authorization, administered insulin. He was a type 2 diabetic that was prescribed a certain type and amount of insulin. Following this administration, hypoglycemic event, his blood glucose was in the 30s. Mm. And despite them trying to elevate his blood glucose level, he didn't recover and he died on April 8th.
This woman was sick, bro. Like, she probably...
During the April 8th, like, the morning that God. Yes, yes. Like, no fucks given.
Like, so she just was like, oh.
Another one bites the dust, you know?
I was literally about to say that. She probably, I feel like she liked watching them slowly, like, deteriorate. Like,
but it's like, terrible. If she got off at 8 a.m. and she went home and the next night she came back, it's like, time to clock in and get right to it.
Time to clock in and murder some motherfuckers.
Right. Like, so, during the April 8th and 9th night shift, 82-year-old Felix McDermott.
That is such a cute old man name.
Was Felix. An inpatient. In the same ward, she... administered the insulin, he was not a diabetic, and he was not prescribed insulin, and his blood glucose level was 12.
Is that the lowest one so far?
So far. Dun, dun, dun. They tried to give him dextrose 50 and a dose of glucogen, I think is how you say it, and he did not recover from the hypoglycemia, and on April 9th at 9 a.m.
Oh, wow.
So, literally an hour after she clocked out, he died. Now, that was April 8th and 9th, so...
I'm assuming the insulin was his cause of death, too.
Yes.
Yeah. Again, how do you idiots not figure out what the hell is going on?
Oh, it's much worse. During June 3rd, 4th, night shift.
Oh, that's a break.
Yeah. 88-year-old Raymond Golden was a patient in Ward 3A. She was sitting with him one-on-one, and he was a type 2 diabetic who had only required one single administration of a certain type and amount of insulin during his stay. And
but she injected him anyway.
She did. And after the hypoglycemic event, his blood glucose level of 7...
What?
Yeah, 7. Despite hospital staff efforts, he did not recover, and on June 8th, he died due to the insulin that was given to him by Miss Mays.
Poor thing. Like, so they just laid there for, like, days with their organs, like, shutting down. Like, that's terrible.
Yeah.
And she was probably in there every effing night.
Yeah, she would, like
watching them die. Mm-hmm. What a piece of absolute shit.
During the June 17th, 18th night shift, this guy, the family did not want his name. Mm-hmm. So he was a 92-year-old. His initials were RPP. Mm-hmm. He was an inpatient at Ward 3A. She administered the insulin. He's not a diabetic patient and not prescribed insulin. And his, after the hypoglycemic event, his glucose level was 14. Mm-hmm. They administered dextrose 50 to him. And by June 19th, his blood glucose had stabilized and he did not receive any additional dextrose 50. Aww. On July 3rd, he died at a nursing home.
I thought you were about to tell me he survived.
Well, he did, but it was...
Damn it.
The medical examiner could not conclude whether or not the insulin was the cause of death. However, Rita Mays had intended to kill him when she administered the insulin. And he was her 8th victim. Hmm. So... some believe that Mays could have been responsible for many other deaths that occurred at VAMC. It's also been said that the federal investigation into the series of mysterious deaths at the VAMC wasn't as in depth as it should have been.
This is me being shocked. Not.
Some believe that the FBI was trying to cover up what was taking place in the veteran hospital because that would have been a nightmare.
Yeah. No shit. Like, how did I not know about this? Mm-hmm. Like, I know. These poor, sweet old men.
When I came across this case, I didn't realize that it was... I thought this was years ago.
Right.
And up until, like, last week, I was like, holy shit, this is...
Yeah.
It happened this summer.
Oh, my God.
So...
like, but what is... like, that just shows, like, what kind of person she is, that she, like, preyed on, like, the weak and, like, the vulnerable and, like... because, like I said, she looked like she's built like a freaking refrigerator. Like, she looks like she could, you know, hold her own.
Oh,
like,
hot water heater looking at.
Kia Soul. But, like, no, she's gonna, you know, take out these sweet old men and, you know, that's somebody's grandpa. Like,
right.
What the and hell? Well, somebody's dad. Like, somebody's something, you know?
There were a total of 11 suspicious deaths, and
other than these or including?
No, including. Once the hospital realized there was a pattern of death, once the hospital realized...
what kind of fucking idiots do they have working there? Like, how do you not know? Oh, hey, why are all these fucking patients of this one person dying?
Oh, I get so much better, too.
What?
Well, it's just negligence.
Yeah.
So,
this suspicious.
There was a total of 11 suspicious deaths. Once the hospital realized there was a pattern occurring in the same ward, which took them way too fucking long, it took them a month to investigate.
What kind of half-ass investigators getting a license in a Cracker Jack box investigation is this?
I could do better.
We probably could have.
Not to mention how on earth... was the insulin so easily accessible to someone who wasn't authorized to administer it?
No shit. I know, like, in most hospitals now, that shit is locked down like Fort Knox.
You gotta give your thumbprint.
Exactly. Like, you have to have, like, the right clearance to even get that.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why it's all like that now. I'm sure prior to 2018, it was probably like that.
No, because in 2014, I couldn't even get my gallbladder out. Like, remember I drove myself to the hospital because I was in so much pain? Yeah. They thought I was a druggie.
Uh-uh.
They would not give me pain medicine.
Shut up.
They tried to give me a GI cocktail. Said, man, this is not going to work. I've been on medicine for a year and a half.
Mm.
And that's when, because I left my parents a note on the the counter. I was like, stomach cramps, going to the ER. And then at like 6 in the morning, my dad walks in. I was like cussing left and right. And like, I couldn't go far because I was on IV. Mm. So I'm like pacing back and forth. It hurt so bad. My dad walked over there and was like, y'all have got to give her something. So they finally walk over. Man, we're going to have to sit down for this. And it was Dilaudid. And it was... the cramps were gone in seconds. Like...
what a bunch of jerks. Like, just... they just prejudging people. It's not like you had any history or anything.
I don't look like a crackhead either.
I mean... no, I'm kidding.
But once the hospital began conducting their investigation, it took them a month to terminate Maze.
A whole month? Wait. A month to do the investigation and to terminate her, or a month to do it and then another month?
I probably think the same month.
Oh, okay. Wait, so she could have been killing people this whole fucking time?
Do you know how many of those probably could have been prevented?
Exactly. Like, when, do you know when they started their investigation? No.
There was not much on this fucking case.
This bitch.
So, the FBI and the Inspector General for the Department of VA took over the investigation, which went on for the next 2 years.
Okay, that sounds more like, you know, legit. Like,
right. Maze was a free woman the entire time.
Bitch, what? She got fired, but she's still just walking around, like...
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Like, she got fired, but, like, why? I mean, maybe because the FBI was involved, they wanted to have all their ducks in a row and stuff. Like,
I guess. But I feel like they could have found something to hold her on.
Well, I mean, like, apparently, like, they didn't keep the insulin locked up. It was, like, just on a cart. Yeah.
What kind of backwoods-ass hospital is this? See, that's why... That's the problem with the fucking VA. They don't have enough funding. Like, I'm serious.
Don't get me started.
I'm not trying to make this, like, political.
No, because
really
my brother
don't.
Had a TBI scan.
Yes.
The other day for his PTSD. Tell me how.
Oh, God. Here we go.
They was going to do that telemedicine?
Excuse me?
Yes.
A brain scan.
They
wanted to do a telemedicine because your brother got the shit in his house to do his own motherfucking brain scan. What
and then he went to go that day and they're like, oh, we canceled your appointment. They're going to call you to reschedule. And that is exactly why my brother don't fuck with the VA like that. He's like,
dude,
he's been
trying to get help for so fucking long.
Well, he's been home since January of 2014. He's like, I don't feel like fucking with the VA. They too much bullshit. And now I see, and it's
almost
a fucking shame.
Years.
Yes. It's a fucking shame.
But then if something happens and, God forbid, he, like, snaps or something, they're going to blame his service time. Well, you motherfuckers didn't want to help him. He tried to get,
Basically, like, I think if that's the key. If you want to get an appointment, like, within that week, you got to say you're, like, fucking suicidal.
Or do some crazy shit.
Yeah.
He should not fucking be like that. When my papa was dying last year, he was a vet. He had served... I don't know what war. I mean, he was pretty old, like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
My dad told me they were trying to get, because, like, I don't even know what happened. He had some issues, and his organs were shutting down, but he had started doing better, and so they were working on getting him, like, a room at the VA in reserve, like, right by the house, so my mom could still go see him and stuff.
Yeah.
And they, like, couldn't find him a room there or whatever, and my dad said it was going to be, like, 6 months before he could, like, get in.
There's plenty of rooms now.
Yeah.
COVID.
Yeah. But, like, yeah, he never did go to the VA. He died in the hospital. So.
Yeah, they, I mean, luckily, marijuana is a thing because that helps him tremendously. Mm-hmm. And he just self-medicates. But I've seen it, and it makes a difference. So. Yeah. Just keep on
trucking. Like, that's... we've said this before. I think we said it in Taylor's episode that, and even other episodes, and it's like...
Was it...
It was Taylor and there was other ones.
Was it Zach?
Yeah. That these guys go and, like, put their lives on the line, and, like, I'll understand that's a choice. Like, nobody forced you to do that, but still,
but
like...
Almost,
no,
sometimes
but still,
it's not a choice. Sometimes it's the only choice.
Yeah. But still, like, you go and risk your life, and then you come home... for the system to not give a shit about your mental health. And, like, especially, like, back in the day, it was always, like, oh, you're a man, like, suck it up. Like, you know?
Right.
Like, men, like, the whole, like, men don't cry mentality, which
is
bullshit.
To be honest, the whole invisible illness mentality, too.
Yes, that, too. Just because you don't
see something wrong with somebody.
I could go on about this for 3 years, so.
So... During the course of the investigation, the victims' families were contacted, and bodies were exhumed.
So, their families, like, just, I guess, like, did they not think anything weird happened? Because I would have been like, what?
Well, they were old.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Unless they knew about the other six or seven, you know, then maybe not.
Yeah.
In the fall of 2019, hear what I said. in the fall of 2019.
When did... Oh, God. And the last victim was June of... Well, not official victim, but RPP was June of 2018. So a year and a half
later. So in the fall of 2019, a person of interest was officially identified, although that person was never named. There was tons of speculation because they had... they heard that a nursing assistant was relieved of her duty. Like, you know, just chitter-chatter around town.
Oh, if we'd have lived there, we'd have figured it out.
I mean, unless the FBI was just being thorough.
What was that today? When I was sending you somebody's address, and you were like, do I need a homegirl this, or are you going to send it to me?
Turn it into a verb. So... Like I said, there was tons of speculation, but not until July 14th of 2020 was the killer confirmed.
I'm glad this year was shitty for her, too.
That was 5 months ago?
Yeah.
So, on July 14th, 2020, Rita Mays admitted to injecting her 7 patients with lethal doses of insulin. Up until days before that, she had repeatedly denied the accusation.
Yeah, of course.
This was her plea agreement.
Yeah, her plea deal. So she denied until she decided to take a plea?
Honestly, I don't even... There's no agreement. There's no deal.
Oh. Okay.
They're not...
We ain't about to bargain with you.
Like, yeah. The million-dollar question remains, though. Why did she do it?
Because she was a sick, sadistic bitch. That's what I think.
United States Attorney Bill Powell, who worked on the case for months, stated Rita Mays never told them why she did it.
Because she's sick.
As part of her agreement, she forfeited her right to seek any additional discovery, except as to relevant and material information in aid of sentencing. She also waived all pending requests for discovery.
So does that include, like, she can't appeal it, too? Because I know with Ronald Dominique, he could not. I think most of the time when you take a plea deal, it includes you can't appeal.
I'll bring it up in a second about something else. But during her plea, she stated that she was a veteran herself, and she was prescribed medication for post-traumatic stress disorder.
Bitch, did you take it?
There's got to be something that led her to strategically kill people that she was caring for.
Exactly.
A behavior analyst performed by the FBI stated that serial killers differ in many ways, including their motivations.
Oh, shit. That makes her a serial killer.
Yeah. Not a spree killer.
No, she's... Yeah, because there was, like, the cooling off period and,
Yeah. Time in between.
Holy shit.
They concluded that movies generally may be difficult
movies.
Movies. Oh my goodness. Yeah.
That would make a good movie though.
Motives generally may be difficult to determine, and that serial killers commit their crimes because they want to.
Exactly.
One of the few exceptions would be that the killer suffers from severe mental illness.
That's a crutch.
It really is.
I feel like it's just like an excuse.
Because there's people who have mental illness that don't do that.
Exactly. I'm raising my hand.
And I know we've talked about this in a previous episode, the nature versus nurture debate.
But we just don't know much about her
life. No, we don't. Right. So, what was the straw, ma'am?
What was the reason?
However, Rita Mays was not mentally ill because that would have been addressed during her trial and used as a defense.
Because if she really was, they would have claimed, like, insanity.
Yeah. And it very well may be addressed during her sentencing hearing, which is scheduled for February 18th and 19th of 2021.
Oh, hell no. We can't wait that. Why we gotta wait that long?
I know.
But, like, okay, it's not that long from, like, now, but, like, from July. That's a long time.
I know.
What the shit?
They had some documents filed, like, October 28th and 30th of this, like, just last week.
For what?
It was just, like, moving a venue. Yeah. Like, just...
It's because of COVID. Everything is because of COVID. Trash.
The families of the victims did not wish to pursue the death penalty because they didn't want it to drag on for years with appeals. The federal prosecutor and families want life in prison.
Yeah.
Each murder charge carries a maximum sentence of life in prison
And the assault charge carries a maximum of 20
years. So is the assault for the eighth person?
The eighth person. Yeah. It's assault with intent to commit murder.
Yeah, so like attempted murder, basically?
Yeah, what's the difference? It sounds like attempted murder, but it's not called that. It's weird.
I don't know. I was just curious.
Yeah, it probably just differs from state to state.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Like, we're so, like, that's why we stick to Louisiana. Mm-hmm.
Federal prosecutors are expected to ask for the maximum sentence.
Good.
There's also a fine of $250,000 each per charge and 5 years of supervised release, I guess. Remember in those cases, like nonviolent, violent, you do 30% of your time. Oh. If it's nonviolent.
How the hell is that
nonviolent? No, I'm saying, I don't know what the percentage is for the violent ones, or even if it's included.
Yeah.
But,
Oh, yeah, like the Evangeline Parish case when that guy got out because he just hired somebody. Mm-hmm.
The maximum penalty for that eighth is the 20 years of imprisonment and then a fine of $250K, and then 3 years of supervised release.
Oh, wow. But all these fines, like, that's a lot of money. Like, she's not gonna, I don't think she has
that much money.
So, I do want to include that in June of 2020, Rita's husband...
Hold up, she had a husband? This bitch had a whole husband?
I don't have a husband.
How that refrigerator looking ass bitch.
You got a husband.
Wait, it gets good.
What?
So her husband, Gordon Mays, was sentenced to 22 months in prison for failure to update his sex offender registration and for violating his sex offender supervised release.
Wait. Not only is she married, she's married to a sex offender? So would you rather have a husband that's a sex offender?
No.
Or be unmarried? Okay.
Solo dolo.
So, alone forever.
Gordon Mays was using Facebook on Rita's cell phone with an alias.
Oh, God.
I think his name was Buck Mays.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I know. And he also failed to update his job changes and a purchase of a new vehicle.
No.
This violation stemmed from a 2012 conviction related to child pornography.
Get the fuck out.
Where he was sentenced to 6.5 years. He was released in August of 2018, which is when he began his life term of supervised release, which is...
Yeah. Like, you have to register for the rest of your life.
Yeah, I don't know how it is out of state, but I think tier 1, tier 2, tier 3.
Yeah.
I know 1 is the worst, maybe.
Yeah, I think so. That sounds right. Because one day me and my husband looked up, like, but I don't sex offenders in our area.
Like, if tier 1 is the worst? I think if tier 3, but do you have to register for life for tier 3, or is it for 20 years?
I think it depends on...
Yeah.
Child pornography, bro?
Yeah. Fucking weirdo.
I did not think she had a husband. I just thought she was, like, a solo, I don't know why. I just didn't get, like, that. I don't know.
People said that she, like, was very... They didn't believe that she could ever do this because, like, she kind of had, like, a high-pitched, like, voice, and she was kind of, like...
Well, she's not talking like she's Satan.
Right, but, like, she, like, kind of mousy, I guess. Like,
very demure, like, withdrawn, like, not...
Yeah, and, like,
like, not very, aggressive.
You know.
And, yeah.
That's the one you gotta watch.
And, like, she was really... eager to please, like, she'd go above and beyond at her job.
To cover up for what she was about to do.
Yeah. So, most serial killers leave their victims mangled or bloody or often completely violated. Mm-hmm. But Rita didn't. She was a trusted caretaker. Someone that you would never suspect.
Did you say
I said sucks. Like, expect, but... Never, that's exactly what I did, expect and suspect, to harm anyone. And we still don't know why she did it, and we may never know.
That's that shit I don't like.
That's that shit that keeps me up at night.
Right. What was the reason?
Like if you're going to sit there and take, like, just sit, and, like, they were reading off the charges, did you commit? Yes. Like, she, not even, no hesitation, like, yes.
Mm-hmm.
All of the
There's
above.
Videos?
No.
Oh.
No. There's very little in this case, but
That's nuts.
But for her, they just said she just blurted out yes at every charge. And, like, if you, like, just give me, like, just tell me why. Tell me why. Like, the victims and the families deserve that.
Right. Dude, the amount of, like, song references in this one episode is, like, off the charts. So, I don't,
I know.
What a piece of
fun. So, we'll definitely update y'all in February.
Yeah.
Along with a bunch of other things I feel like we have to update y'all with.
Oh, God, I know. I feel like we have so many updates. Like, there's so much going on. Well, a lot of stuff that we, like, we would have updated you on has, like, been pushed back because of COVID. Like, the...
And things have just yet to happen with this and 41, episode 41 update. We have a Taylor update coming soon.
Yeah, we should have an episode on the Roden family massacre soon. Yeah, they've all, like, been going to trial and stuff, but like I said, COVID's just kind of
dampered everything.
Yeah, thrown a wrench in everybody's plans. But anyway, so that's the case of the Clarksburg 7.
Thanks for listening. If you liked today's episode, please rate and review us. Maybe we will throw some shade, maybe not.
If you didn't like it, please don't review us.
Yeah. Just, yeah.
Maybe send us a message instead. You can also follow us on Instagram at Homicide Homegirls, Facebook at Homicide Homegirls Podcast, and we also have the Homicide Homegirls Podcast discussion group. Those should both come up when you search. And we also have Twitter at Homegirls Pod. If you'd like to suggest an episode, send us that shit.
Send it.
There's a form on our Facebook page, or you can email us.
Telegram, send us a Facebook postcard.
Message. Holy crap, I just realized we're telling people to email us, and we don't say our goddamn email address in any episode.
It's on our Facebook.
It's homicidehomegirls@gmail.com. I should probably add that in there.
Don't be sending us no spam, though.
No, don't send us spam. But, you know, if you want to just send us a message and be like, yo, we love you. We love you, too.
Send us a Christmas card. We might have to get a P.O. box if that's the case.
We should totally send out Christmas cards. To who? Desiree?
Merry Christmas. Here's our beautiful faces.
Right. Or not. I don't know. Or not.
Or not.
Anyways, thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.